Welcome back to HRBC Encounter Podcast, the podcast where we ask Neil what his worst restaurant experience has been.
My worst restaurant experience, it was definitely when we were in Thailand and we went to, it wasn't so much street food, it was undercover, but it was street food. And we were sitting under, I can describe as a congregated iron sort of structure which protected you from the, you know, from the rains, which were always very heavy at certain times of the day. We were sat there eating our meal, then when suddenly Shireen screamed and we looked up from our food and there was this flying thing.
Oh, no.
Which was about the size of a very large cockroach, from underneath the table onto her lap and then into her face. And it was just pandemonium, and everybody just stopped what they were doing and were just staring at us. And we were probably the only Western people in the restaurant. So it was a bit obvious that we were sort of, you know, snowflakes on holiday. So that was probably the most disgusting thing we had in a restaurant, because we didn't really fancy the food after that either.
Yeah, fair enough.
I can imagine.
I was just wondering where that was going. I had no idea from start to beginning. I was like, where is this going to end? That was great.
We did end up eating the cockroach. We did try some funny fried food in Bangkok when we were there, which I think were fried locusts on a stick, but actually they were quite pleasant.
They would.
Very nice. I guess it tastes of whatever they cook it in, isn't it? Or fry it in.
Yeah, it just tastes like fried prawn, to be honest.
Mm. Great.
Let's roll the intro music.
Hi, my name's Josh. I'm 19 years old and I serve part-time at Holland Road. I'm heading off to university in September to do mechanical engineering. And yeah, that's me.
I'm Sophie. I'm 20 years old and I'm currently at university studying psychology.
And I'm Neil Abart. I'm the Debt Centre Manager for Christians Against Poverty at Holland Road Baptist Church.
Great. We just wanted to get to talk about CAP a little bit. Neil, as you mentioned, you're involved in that. But first of all, can you just tell us what CAP is?
Well, if I read out what we is in effect our mission statement. Okay, so CAP stands for Christians Against Poverty. And we are passionate about releasing people in our nation from a life sentence of debt, poverty and their causes. Working with churches, they bring good news, hope and freedom. So in a nutshell, we help anybody, whatever nationality, whatever you claim to be, we help anyone if you have a deep-rooted debt problem which you just find unmanageable. So in a sense, we get people out of debt and they can start their life again afresh, not being worried about people knocking on the door, sending them threatening letters or facing court or eviction. That's what we do, and we do it very, very successfully every single year.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And since coronavirus has been about, how's that been kind of affecting clients or even challenges for you as well? How has that been a big effect?
Well, the biggest challenge of all is that there are quite a few charities out there, very good charities that help people in debt as well. You've probably heard of some of them. For example, Money Advice, Citizens Advice Bureau, Step Change, National Debt Helpline. I mean, in theory, they do exactly the same as us, but our big USB is that, unique selling point is that we meet face-to-face. We visit people in their homes. So when the lockdown began, of course, that was absolutely impossible to do. Mm-hmm. So we actually had to shut down for quite a few weeks because we couldn't accept appointments because our conditions of service state that we actually visit people's homes, or we can, of course, visit in a public place like a church, but it must be face-to-face. So we actually had to change our conditions of service, and that took quite a long time because it's actually a legal document. So from about 3 weeks ago, we are now able to talk to people over the phone. If they want to meet, like over Zoom, they can, but most choose not to. So we're meeting people in the homes, but over the telephone. It's been a bit frustrating knowing we've had all these people out there, all these clients whom we couldn't actually physically help. That's the situation at the moment. We're nearly back to normal.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's really interesting how it has that legal side to it as well. Because, I mean, it's quite a massive organisation. Is it all over England? Does it spread further?
For example, in the United Kingdom, there are 287 debt centres like ourselves based at Holland Road. But actually, CAP has offices in Australia, New Zealand, India, Canada, and just opening up in North America. So it's an international organisation.
Wow.
Amazing.
I wouldn't have thought of the legal side being quite a big problem and how that could have affected it. But no, that's really interesting. Thank you. Would you be able to share a testimony of a client and how CAP has worked in their life and changed it?
Yeah, absolutely. I will give you a quick testimony of the 23,000 people. And one story that is fairly recent that comes to mind was because it was just before the lockdown. Mm-hmm. I was in my monthly pop-up clinic at the Portslade Job Centre in Boundary Road. And they very kindly let me have a desk there, sat next to Citizens Advice Bureau. And often we'd refer people to each other, so people would sit down next to me, and I realised it wasn't a debt problem they had, it was a problem with benefits. Then I would direct them to my colleague sat next to me, and vice versa. He would have a conversation about benefits and understand there was a seriously underlying debt problem, so he'd refer them to me. So they could get to me before actually getting on the phone line, where often there's a three-month waiting list to actually get an appointment. Mm. On this particular day, I went in, and Steve was off sick. This is the Citizens Advice Bureau guy. And a lady came in and said, "Oh, hello. I'm looking for Steve." And I said, "I'm afraid he's not in today. He's phoned in sick." And she said, "Oh, really, really? Oh, I've plucked up so much courage to come in and see him." I said, "Well, maybe I can help. I'm not an expert on benefits." I said, "Take a seat and have a chat." Anyway, within seconds, 30 seconds, it was clearly obvious that she had a serious debt issue. She was under, actually, protection from the police for domestic abuse. She was in a safe house. He was continuing to spend, ex-partner was continuing to spend money on a joint account. And she just was at her wit's end. So I said, "Well, actually, I think Steve probably would have referred you to me anyway." So we sat down, had a chat, and she had loads of paperwork with her. So I was able to collect some information, contact head office, and we put her in the system, so to speak. Literally, I think it was just a few days before lockdown. Mm. And I've been working with that lady over the phone ever since. She's now in a position where very, very shortly she'll be completely debt-free. Mm. She's receiving food from our practicals team. She's showing a real interest in what we do at church. And, you know, I just feel there's a journey there. Mm. And, you know, and I've been able to sort of sense that her body language, her emotions have all improved. And yeah, I mean, I think basically probably, you know, saved her mental health, saved her life even, because she was so, so anxious and depressed and with all the worry from her ex-partner and all the letters and all the phone calls that she was getting from these creditors. Mm. That's a journey that's still going on. But literally on Friday, I found out that, yeah, soon, very, very soon, she will have all those debts wiped. She doesn't have to worry about them anymore. Mm. And she's now in a safe place. We helped her sort the benefits out, and she can start her life again.
That's really, really amazing. I guess one big part of it is people come from many different kind of places, and that is a very specific circumstance for each person. But yeah, it's a really amazing story.
Mm. I think an illustration of that is, you know, people may assume that, oh, yes, it's probably low-income families or people on benefits. But you know what? I've had high court judges, you know, who earn more in an hour than most people earn in a week, you know, and debt can hit anyone. And this is what we're expecting. There's a storm out there about to hit us, because there are people out there who've had secure jobs for many, many years. They've probably got mortgages. And suddenly when the furlough scheme ends, there's going to be an awful lot of people out there who are going to be faced with a debt, which they never dreamed in their wildest nightmare that they would ever face. And I'm just glad that CAP will be there to support them. Mm.
This next segment is called the Playlist Extravaganza segment, which is where we ask our guests to add one song to our Encounter playlist. So, Neil, what is a worship song that you've been enjoying at the moment?
You may already have it on your playlist because it's quite a famous one. One of my favourite hymns of all time is How Great Thou Art. I just think it's a fantastic, rousing hymn. But you probably guess what I'm going to say. The version by Elvis Presley
brilliant,
from one of his gospel albums is absolutely stunning. So if you can get that one on your playlist, I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy listening to it.
Amazing. I don't think we've had that song yet, actually.
No, and I don't think I've heard that rendition either. No. So I have to check that out.
The Johnny Cash version is pretty good as well.
Keep that in mind.
Awesome.
Yeah, great. Do you have any tips for managing money, especially for students, young people, or just anyone really as well, generally?
Yes. I mean, the principles I would have for students, and bear in mind, I've had three children go through or still up in the university system. The principles are much the same as I would say to anyone. This is a key thing. Students normally only have one bank account, but actually you really do need two, and I'll explain why. When your loan, or in some cases some people do get a grant, comes in end of September, you need to keep that completely separate from all your other expenditure. So arrange for the student loan company to pay that in, and as many parents do, if you receive a weekly or a monthly subsistence from your parents, make sure it goes into that bank account. If you haven't already opened one that gives a free rail pass, I believe Santander are still doing that, then it could be that. All that goes in there is the money you receive. And then you set up your direct debits or standing orders from there to pay your maintenance fees, i.e. it could be rent for your university or it could be a private lodging. Goes out of there. Your food comes out of there. You leave a bit in there for gas and electric, if that applies to you. Mm-hmm. And everything else, leaving your normal bank account. Mm-hmm. Because then you're protecting yourself for the main things that count. In other words, you pay your rent and you pay your bills. Because the danger is you've got a huge amount of money. You go out on that first day, you buy all your posters, you buy your little knickknacks for your room to make things look nice. You then go and sign up for your Freshers Week, which often costs £150. You go out and join yourself for that week, and then, I've had this before, you've spent half your money in the first 2 weeks because you haven't kept that account free. So that's what I would advise you to do. Another big thing I would advise you to do, which is a cap principle, we do this thing called cap money. At the beginning of a week, or students probably prefer a Friday night, you draw out the amount of money that you think you want to spend for the week, okay? Mm. And that's it. If you can avoid it, don't use the Wi-Fi touch thing on control, because you've got no idea what you're spending. If you draw out £60 and you know with that money you've got to buy your food, for argument's sake, let's say that's £25. So you go to the supermarket that evening or Saturday morning, you buy your shop for the week so you know you've got it, and then you know whatever you've got left, that's your money for entertainment, leisure, whatever it might be. And once it's gone, it's gone, and you know it's gone. You're not tempted to go into next week's, and that will keep you through the 10 to 12 week term safely.
Yeah, that's really, really helpful, actually. Mm. I don't know about you, Sophie, but for me especially, I think just thinking about starting now, you're right about the Santander account and the rail pass. Been trying to do that. It's been a little bit tricky online, but now that you can actually go to some branches that are open, I'll definitely try and do that.
That's worth a lot of money as well. Yeah. In our case, I think one of my children actually already had a Santander account.
Yeah.
So he went to them and said, look, I've already got a Santander account. Can I please have the rail card? And they said, no. So he said, no problem. I'll close the account then. And they said, well, actually, that's not a bad thing. Close your account and then reopen a student account when you get it.
Okay.
And actually, they were quite supportive with that. And I think actually he didn't have to close down in the end his original account because it had a different name. So if you've already got a Santander account, Lloyds used to do it as well. I don't know if they still do, actually. I haven't really taken much notice if Lloyds are still doing the rail card. Hmm. But yeah, because I think over 3 years, that's worth, what?
90?
Yeah.
Is it 30 a year?
Yeah, so it's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the tip about having the two bank accounts, I think that's great. I have one for my rent and one for everything else. And I know that really helps. So I know that I always have at least, you know, 2 months rent in that account.
Yeah.
And then it's always there.
The other big tip I would say is, especially for students going back for their second, third or fourth year, normally you will be out of university accommodation. You're probably renting privately in a house. Mm-hmm. And I literally did a lot of research last weekend about how you pay and organise your bills. Mm. And I've got that in a document, and I'm more than happy to send that to you, and you can distribute to anybody asks for it. So I've gone through and I've investigated the ways of paying your bills. Mm. A lot of people would like these student apps or websites. I mean, one is actually called Split the Bills. They are very, very useful, especially if you're in a large house. If you investigate them, actually, they're charging an awful lot of money for your gas and utility, you know, your gas, electric and water, because that's where they make their money. So I'll put it in layman's terms, which these are facts. So, for example, splitthebills.com, their standing charge for gas and electric before you've been mutiny is together about 79p per day.
Okay.
If you organised your own bills and somebody was responsible for paying those bills, you took a reading and you paid it when you left, it's about 32 pence per day.
Mm.
Okay. Per unit of electricity and gas used, Split the Bills will be charging you, for example, this is just an example, say 13 pence per unit, whereas if you did it yourself, it'd be about 6 pence per unit. So you can see it's a big markup. However, however, that's the gamble you pay. Who's going to want the bill in their name? Because even in a Christian household, right, you get to June, if somebody hasn't got any money left, they haven't got any money left.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they going to pay you, you know, and you could be left with a huge burden, which you are legally, you know, obliged to pay. So it's one of those things, if you implicitly and explicitly trust the people you live with, mm-hmm. the cheapest way is to do the bills yourself. The most convenient way, of course, is to pay another sort of intermediary to do it for you. I mean, I'll give you an example, which for Sadie, for example, her household, it's a big household, there's eight in there. It basically works out just over £1 a day per person to cover your gas, electric and water, which sounds good value, actually.
Mm.
But times that by eight people, work it out. You know, that's nearly £9 a day with the pennies.
Yeah.
£9, and then, wow. You know, where's all this money? And they claim that if you overpay, they will give it back to you when your contract ends, you know, in June the 30th, mm-hmm. 2021. But they want you to pay for the entire time of the tenancy. So for the moment, you know, if they chose that option, they'd be paying £1 a day each, £8 a day, and they're not even living there.
Yeah.
Because they're not moving down to the end of the At least by paying £1 a day, you know that your bill is going to be £365 for your gas and electric and water, which, in terms of security, that's okay. And if somebody does flunk out of university or they don't pay, you're not liable. Pay a bit more and have the security. You can use as much gas, electric and water as you want and not worry about anybody, you know, leaving university or whatever.
Mm. I guess it's, in the end, it's a lot about just knowing what you're doing and having security and not just kind of going into it, but doing the research beforehand, which I think would be really helpful if we have that, if we share that sheet, then I think I'll be able to put a link in the description of the podcast, if that's all right.
Yeah, I'll email it to you. No problem.
Amazing.
Great. Thank you.
So, Neil, thanks so much for all that information so far. But how can we be praying for CAP for you guys as the workers there?
I think I probably mentioned it earlier. We are expecting a storm of people. The first thing we can pray for is that when people realise that they've got a problem, that actually they ring us rather than anybody else, because we believe that we give the best service. We've got a fantastic record getting people out of debt. It's about 7 or 8 people per day nationally that we get out of debt. We offer that holistic service. We don't sort of rush in our evangelism, but we build up a relationship, and over 10,000 people have been brought to Christ over the last 20 years through coming to CAP. So pray that they'll use us rather than anybody else to give the councils, the local council, if a credit. They've got great support services in place for everything at the moment, which they never had. Whether that will continue, I don't know. So pray that if the council are forwarding people to debt help services, they actually think of us. When we get the clients, pray that they will work with us. People are normally very distressed. You know, they don't want to find the effort, or that they can't find the patience to find all the bits of paperwork we have to have legally before we can help them. Pray for head office. They're going to be overwhelmed. That's where, you know, we can cope in Brighton. We've got a fantastic team here. We can probably help more people than we get. But of course, we generate lots and lots of paperwork for head office. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, only 6 people out of 300 are at head office because of their social distancing rules. Mm. They're all working from home, but it makes life a lot harder. So the 6 people in the office are literally just dealing with the thousands of letters of post that come every week. Mm-hmm. Pray in particular for head office that they can cope for this storm when it comes, we reckon, around September, October.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Is there anything practical that we can do to support CAP at the moment?
Well, we always need more money. And I'd just like to thank all those who have signed up. Mm-hmm. We're working in tandem with the practicals team at the moment. I know they're always looking for volunteers. We're delivering supplies. Any donations of long life food are good. Mm-hmm. They can be dropped off literally in the church foyer. If you wish to donate monthly, we have a standing order form, which I can give you. And literally, even if it was only £1 a month, mm-hmm. and we can use those donations to supply supermarket vouchers, taxi fares, bus passes, that sort of thing. So that's really, really helpful if you'd like to sign up for a monthly donation.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And yeah, if you've been listening to this episode and just thinking that this is something that you really resonate with and you really want to get involved, if you're locally, so there's those opportunities with Holland Road and with CAP, you know, if you're listening from anywhere else in the world, a lot of churches do lots of things to, you know, help out. You can always get in touch with your churches locally. If you want to get in contact with us here at Holland Road, then I'll add all the links in the description so that you can get in contact and, yeah, just help out, fill out that form or just get involved.
It may well be that you recognise some of these problems and you need help, or you know somebody else who needs help. Just pass them on this number, 0800 328 0006. It's completely free and completely confidential.
That's all the time that we have for today's podcast.
This has been an Holland Road Baptist Church Encounter podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Neil, for coming and chatting with us. You can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR. We post a new podcast every week on Wednesdays, so look out for that. Josh, would you like to pray for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you for this time and for all the different stories that we've heard from CAP and the way that it impacts so many people. Yeah, I just pray that people will keep ringing up, that they'll just be able to keep helping people. I thank you for that amazing record that Neil was talking about. And I just pray that work will be able to continue in the way that it does. I thank you for all that the councils are doing at the moment, and that they will continue to support this work and just continue to direct people to CAP. I pray for the clients that they'll just be, that they'll just have courage and perseverance to be able to be helped. I just pray, Lord, that you be working with them, be working with the volunteers, with the workers. I pray for the CAP head office, that it won't be overloaded with paperwork and that you just give really good administration skills to the people there and that they can continue to do the work that they do so well. I thank you for Neil. Thank you for all that he does. I just pray that you bless him, bless his family, and bless his work, that you will continue to help him build relationships with people, help people come out of debt. Yeah, thank you so much for all those people that he's been able to lead to you as well through the amazing work that they do at CAP. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye-bye.